I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." As the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. So the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child who all were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and understanding of his word. I'm going to tell you something about this scripture that I think is very special. And in saying that, I want you to also hear what has been done with the scripture in the past. So often this scripture is chosen to inform the listeners of the holiness of Jesus. How even Simeon and Anna, who had never met Joseph or Mary, instinctively knew Jesus was the Messiah, the long-awaited Christ. But if we read this scripture only for that reason, we are missing, truly missing, the big picture that Luke presents us with. And one of the things we talk about all the time in Sunday school and other areas of the church is how the gospel writers were writing community. And Luke certainly has a message for his community. We are first told of the Jewishness of this whole event. Notice how Luke lays it out for us that according to the law of Moses, Jesus was to be presented to the Lord for purification. In other words, this was and still is a tradition in the Jewish faith. And as you know, traditions can be good or bad. And so often a tradition gets started and we're not even sure why that tradition started. We just follow it blindly. We don't ask the why of it. We just do it. For example, there was a holy man who lived in a remote part of China, and every day before his time of meditation, since food was so scarce, in order to show his devotion, he put a dish of butter on the windowsill as an offering to God. To his surprise, one day, his cat came in and ate the butter. Well, he certainly couldn't have that. So to remedy this, he began tying the cat to the bedpost. every day before his time of meditation. Now this man became so revered for his piety, others joined him as disciples and worshipped as he did. Generations later, long after the holy man was dead, his followers placed an offering of butter on the windowsill during their time of prayer and meditation and bought a cat to tie to the bedpost. Now that's bad. They never asked the wise man why he did that. They just went out, bought a cat, started tying it to the bed. They didn't need to do that. The important part of that tradition was to give an offering to God. As I said, traditions can be good and they can be bad. And they become unhealthy when the tradition no longer feeds the souls of those who come to be a part of God's world, the spiritual world. And oftentimes we as Christians tend to run people off that want to be in the church because we start dealing with tradition. Well, traditionally we haven't done that. Where if we had open hearts and minds, we would have everybody in our church, wouldn't we? Now there is the good side of tradition. For example, there's a family called the Robinson family, and this family of five with three kids under the age of 10, they choose to celebrate the birth of Christ in a unique way. On Christmas morning, instead of focusing on the presents under the tree, they make pancakes, they brew an urn of coffee, and then they head downtown. Once there, they load the coffee and food into the back of a red wagon, and their three-year-old is all too happy to pull that wagon for them. And they go around these almost empty streets in search of homeless folks to offer a warm and filling breakfast on Christmas morning. All three of the Robinson kids look forward to this time of giving a bit of tangible love to people who otherwise would have been cold and without breakfast. There is no question that the family like that must feel like the wise men bringing gifts. Looking at traditions, we find many of them are self-serving. How many of us venture out to start a tradition that is altruistic? How many of us want a tradition where we serve others? Even Christmas becomes, it's a family thing. But the question is, who do you include in your family? The Robinsons included the homeless in their family. Well, let us move on to the next part of our scripture. Excuse me. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. So the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Here we have Joseph and Mary, who have been informed from the beginning of Mary's pregnancy that Jesus is the Son of God. That is a stated fact in the Gospel of Luke. Remember in the first chapter, verse 46, Mary begins to magnify the Lord because she is allowed to carry his child. Then Joseph is brought on board, and in a dream, the Holy Spirit tells him that Mary will carry the Son of God. But now we read that Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about their son. This has led some to believe that although Mary and Joseph were informed, they didn't really believe. I mean, really. Believe. It's a question for many of us. Do we really believe? Why would you be amazed if someone's saying positive things, good things about God's Son? But then two total strangers, Simeon and Anna, come in to the scenario of this scripture and begin to talk about Jesus. We could call that part an aha moment in this scripture. Joseph and Mary, aha, this is the Son of God. Even these people know, and they've never met us. You know, when my daughter Christina had her 10th birthday, I surprised her when she came home from school and had balloons set up and everything else, and her mother was at work, and I was getting things ready, and she squealed with joy, and I knew she would. She grinned and chuckled while dashing from room to room as she gazed at the balloons and streamers and other decorations. And her little fingers would go through the candy, the presents, and other trinkets of fun spread over the dinner table. And I said, wait for your mother. You gotta wait. We can't party yet. And her big brother, Chad, was there just watching her go crazy over all of this. And I thought to myself, my baby turned 10 today. And just minutes ago, she walked through the door from a long day at school. And yet, all of this energy is pouring out. In fact, she awoke that morning grinning as I sang Happy Birthday, and as people can testify, I'm not a great singer, but I sang Happy Birthday to her. But little did she know when she awoke that Dad intended to surprise her when she got home from school. I think it's great to surprise others on their birthday and at Christmas, if only to see the joy and delight on their faces. But you know what's even better is to be a surprise to others. And Jesus was a surprise to others. Unlike Matthew, Luke also tells us about the birth of John the Baptist. And like John the Baptist, my daughter Christina was born to shine the light of Christ from within her and to be joy and delight for many. But that's exactly what John the Baptist and Jesus tell us, is we should be a surprise to others. And just like John the Baptist and Jesus, you've also been born to be a joy and delight to others. So I believe this part of the scripture invites you and me to surprise someone today with joy and delight that we have from within. And if we are the followers of Jesus that we say we are, we should have that joy and delight to share. I mean, are we not capable of giving the gift of joy and delight to others? To give them that aha experience wherein they say, yes, that's it. Let us bring joy and delight to others as well. So often we don't see our potential, and we call ourselves followers of Jesus, and we go through this world looking sad or looking morose, whatever, and people don't see the joy. And if we are true followers of Jesus, there should be joy. When we come into this church and sit in this sanctuary, there should be joy. I can remember as a child a time when adults would say, that's not proper in church. Shh, you got to be serious. And I never felt that was true. And I don't feel that's true today. When you come into a sanctuary, when you come to worship God, be happy. Have joy. So often, as has been experienced in this congregation, if there's babies in it and they cry from time to time, I'll hear someone say, well, that baby was crying. I couldn't hear. Thank God babies cry. Thank God there's babies in the sanctuary. Who do you think's going to grow up and take over from our work? That's joy. Joy to hear youth. Joy to hear a youngster in your congregation. Rather than being a people who try to get everybody quiet and, boy, follow the rules, how about let's get everybody in here and have joy in Jesus Christ? Well, moving to the best part of the scripture, and I hope you hear this loud and clear. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Ah, there it is. Do you hear it? This scripture that started with a traditional Jewish service, right? That was Jewish what they were doing. This scripture tells us even Joseph and Mary were surprised with the words of Simeon and Anna, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Joseph and Mary and each one of us are told in this scripture that Luke wrote for us, for all who would share in his gospel. In this scripture, Jesus is coming for all peoples. They may have taken him to fulfill the Jewish law, but once Jesus did that, once his parents completed that, Jesus took off and started a ministry for all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, faith in God is not a Jewish thing, but something for all peoples. All peoples. Think about that. We're not talking about just all races. We're talking about all peoples, regardless of race or gender or whatever. This is for all peoples. So faith in God is not a Jewish thing, but something for all peoples. God is the God of everyone and everything on earth and in heaven. God sent his Son to everyone. Praise be to God. And a lot of this scripture, think about this. And I got educators in this congregation. One of them is of course, Jim Spears. And there are other educators. And I decided I wanted to see what it is that schools are supposed to be about. I wanted to see what it is that the education of the country puts out. And this is what I came out with. You can research this too. Many of the rules for evaluating the behavior and social skills of children in public schools are exemplary for how followers of Christ should behave. Listen to this. Caring, cooperative, respectful. Being inclusive, thoughtful, kind. Understand others' feelings. Sharing, helping others. Consensus building, give and take. These are all listed under education and what it's supposed to be about. Accepting roles and tasks, listening to others, wait to respond. One of my favorites, listen to what the other person has to say. Don't cut them off, but wait to respond. Accept the right of others to have differing opinions. Use appropriate language. Maintains others' personal space. Welcome diversity, good sportsmanship, help those who are hurt, follow directions, be courteous. All of that was listed under what our school systems are supposed to be like in the public school world. Do you think they are? Do you think our schools are actually living this, which is exactly what our Lord says we should live? There's nothing in here that I can see that I think Jesus would disagree with. In fact, I think he would encourage it. If I were to read those again, you might sum a large part of it up to be saying to us, be impartial, be loving and accepting. Always be there for others and do not offend. Scripture tells us God never wanted to be just the God of Israel. God never wanted that. God created the world. God created everything in the world. God always intended to be the God of all peoples, regardless of what they're like, what they look like, what they feel like, whatever. He's the God of all people. So I'm going to ask, as we start a new year, as you know, it won't be long. This is the 27th. We're about to start 2021. And don't wait until then. Start now. But make the new year especially a time in which we become a blessing of joy and delight to all peoples. Wouldn't it be great? In 2021, in spite of a pandemic, in spite of everything else that we're facing, which the dark days are still ahead of us, we in the dark days can still be joy to others. We in the dark days can bring delight to others. We can do that. So I'm asking, if you haven't made a New Year's resolution, and even if you have, make this part of it, that you will be a joy and delight to others, regardless of what's going on in this world. And understand that all people are God's people. And if we do that, we shouldn't have any problem bringing joy and delight. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you have created us. But even more importantly, Lord, you created us to serve others, and we ask that you give us the strength and the courage and the spirit to serve others and to do for others, that we may help others have joy and delight as you have brought joy and delight to us. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's holy name.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.